There was a real battle over this word, and I'll tell you why. Okay? Because if we can even just get one principle today, it'll change your life. Okay? So sometimes there's a real battle over a word, and that's why I appreciate you guys praying first, because, well, frankly, let's just be honest. Okay? The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and we're not going to let him. Okay? Let's just be honest. Okay? So we want to be aware of his devices, and we want to expose his schemes, right? And live in all God has for us, right? Okay, good. Oh, good. I wanted to hear a few amens on that one. Enid, you're the amener there, please. lead the way there, hon. So I want to talk to you about confidence. Confidence. Interesting thing, isn't it? You hear a lot about confidence, self-esteem, these types of things. And I think we all want to have an assurance. We all want to know, right? We all want to be strong. But our human tendency is always to figure stuff out. So we want to figure out who's confident and how can I be like them, right? So that's our human tendency, is to analyze everything and then figure out how to do it. So, for instance, these are some of our answers if how can I be more confident? Well, it's wrapped up in what you do or don't do, right? So your career, how you live, your house, your car, your spouse, your kids. That's a scary topic. okay, how you look, who you know, who you don't know, okay? You know, and so it's all wrapped around this natural knowledge, isn't it? And so a couple weeks ago, I was reading this verse in the Bible again, and that's the verse I want to use today, is Philippians 1:6. And I want to talk about God confidence today. And so Philippians 1:6, we know, is written by Paul the Apostle. And this is what he says in this verse. And I'm hoping I'm going to be able to read on my Bible light here. Yeah, okay, good. Just check it. So Philippians 1:6, he says, I am confident. So I was reading this again, and just going through the book of Philippians, and I thought, there's that word confident again. I want to look up what is Paul talking about and why did he make that point there. Okay? So when I was digging around in that word, and I recommend you do these kinds of things, and I'll tell you why. We have so many versions of the Bible now. Sometimes it's just a healthy idea to figure out what the author was really saying in his language. That's all. So he says there, I'm confident, and they say that he was using very strong language here. This was not just, well, maybe, might be, let's hope so, okay? He was using very strong language here, and he was saying, I am fully, firmly persuaded. And look what else it means. It says that he was so entirely convinced that this was true that he had no doubt. Does that not sound good to you? I want to know and be confident and have no doubt in what I know. Like, you know, he goes on to say in this verse, look, and this is what he's confident of. I'm convinced, I'm assured, I am sure of this very thing. I am confident that he who began a good work in you will continue it and complete it and develop it, perfect it, and bring it to full completion in you. That's what he was confident about. Okay? So he knew without a shadow of a doubt. Now, I could say to somebody, I could say, well, do you think God hears your prayers? Yeah. Because you know you should say yes because the Bible says so. But we're all like, do you believe that? Do you believe that God answers prayer? Well, that depends, but yeah. You know, and this is kind of the way we answer these questions sometimes, isn't it? Like, think about it. There's a lot of doubt hanging in there, right? And so he was completely convinced and confident. So I want to look at Paul. Why was he confident? because God wants us to be confident in him that he has begun a good work in you and he is completing it. And if we could just get this one truth, oh my goodness, no matter what you're in or going through right now, you would know it's just mere process to completion. That's all it is. And we could shut down all the lies and all of this junk we're thinking about dwelling on because I am confident of this one fact, that he began a good work and he will finish it. He will finish it. Yeah. So let's look and see why Paul was confident. We're going to stick to Philippi. He's writing to the Philippians here. And we're going to stick to that because there's so much on this topic that I know you don't want to sit here all day and hear it all right now. So we're just going to stick to this for now. So let's go to verse 3. This is what he said before verse 6, of course. Okay. Verse 3. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. So I am sure of this very thing. Why was he sure? Because he was praying. He was praying for. And when we pray, and I'm going to give you the basic definition of the word prayer. And you're going to say, well, we know what prayer is, Maureen. Okay. Just hear me out. Okay. Okay. What prayer is communion with God. Prayer is not just murmuring and complaining that direction. Okay? That's not what it is. Now, having said that, you can dump everything on God you want to. Tell him everything. Go ahead and do it. Please do. Share your heart. God, I'm going through this. God, why is this happening? You know, talk to him. But the point is, it's two ways. So when I come to him and I share my heart and I pour it out, I am expecting back. That's what wait on God even means. I am expecting you. See, God's original plan was the Garden of Eden, wasn't it? Okay, I'm going to create people, and they're going to be my family, and I'm going to go in the garden, and I'm going to walk with them, and I'm going to talk with them, and we're going to have a friendship, a relationship. That was his original design. And when man broke that original design, okay, he said, no problem, I've got a plan. I'm going to bring you back to my original design. And that's what he has for us. See, Paul said, like I said, staying in Philippians here, over in chapter 3, verse 8. Now listen to what he says. Now, you can say, well, yeah, but that was Paul's Paul. Okay. This is a man who knew how to connect with God. Because listen to what he says. Philippians 3, 10, 8 to 10. Indeed, I count everything loss. Because of the surpassing worth of knowing God. He says, I don't care about everything else if I could just know God. That's what he's saying. This man has touched God. He's touched God. He knows God. He's received from God. He's like, in that moment of knowing God, nothing else matters to me anymore. That's what he's saying. Everything else can just go. I don't care. I want to know God. For his sake, I've suffered the loss of things, and I count them as garbage anyway in order to gain him and be found in him, not having the righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes from faith, righteousness from God that depends on faith. Now, verse 10, that I just may know him. And in that same way, know the power of his resurrection and sharing his sufferings. That word know there, you know what it means? It means intimately and experientially. Do you experientially know God? See, that's the question. You can know him in theory from the Bible and by throwing your complaints at him and hoping he hears it and answers. Or you can know him. Right? And he said, I know him, but I also want to know his power from his resurrection. Remember, Paul's the same person that wrote Galatians 2:20, right? That I've died, but I'm alive now in Christ. Okay? So he says, I'm fine to share in his sufferings. I want to know the power of his resurrection. So this is the way I look at it. It's experiential. If God is love, joy, peace, freedom, zeal, fire, life, encouragement, and is absent of despair, heaviness, anxiety, fear, if I connect with God, what do I have? I have him. I have love, joy, peace, freedom. That connection brings us into a place of faith and hope. Okay? And it does something in your heart of assurance. There's something that happens in your spirit, even though the circumstance never changes, even though you feel like, okay, the answer to this prayer has not happened. But when you connect with God, something takes place in your spirit. And you're like, God heard me. God's moving. God's doing something. But when we come into prayer and we're just like, God, where are you? Why are you moving? And we walk away. We don't connect with him. We don't hear him. We don't sense him. And I'm telling you, sometimes it takes a little bit of work to push through. Who cares? Who cares that I may gain Christ? And once we touch him, even though my circumstance never changed, life hits my spirit. And I changed. I have hope. Because you cannot touch God and not be changed. And so he touched God for the people of Philippi. He said, I'm praying for you. I'm remembering. I'm praying and I'm pouring out and I'm so thankful for you. And he touched God and he could rise up and say, listen, I am confident. I'm sure. I know. I know. This is a man. You got to admire this guy. He is stoned and left for dead. And what does Paul do? Gets back up and goes into the city. If you go over to chapter 4, verse 11 to 13, he says, I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. Whoa. I know how to be brought low and I know how to abound. And in every circumstance, I have learned the secret. What secret? That word secret there means I've been initiated into the mysteries of God. He's taught me and he's instructed me how I can live in no matter what circumstance I'm in. Okay, he goes on to say, in plenty and hunger, abundance and need, verse 13, the one we all want to quote but don't believe. I'm just being honest here. Okay, let's just be honest. But I can do all things. The word do there actually does not mean I hope I can do this. That word there, do, means I am able, I will do because of the power, the miracle working power of God that lives in my life. I don't care what's going on. I still have that power. That's what that verse means. No matter what is going on, I can connect to God and have an assurance and confidence. He hears me. And he's moving. Paul had such a connection with God, a lot of people couldn't understand it. Glory be to Jesus. It's in the Bible. So we can read it today. See, our natural tendency is to look at everything that's wrong. Complain and get discouraged. And that's why we have to touch a real God. Okay, so something happens in this human vessel and it changes. Okay, because we do not, by our own human nature, okay, seek God out. Because Paul tells us your flesh will go the other way. When we're struggling, we just go the other way. Okay? But we want to encounter him. So that's the first way we get confidence in no matter what is happening in our life, is we have to hear from God. I'm telling you, there are so many influences in this world today. There's so many people. I mean, how many news channels can you get nowadays? Like, I don't even know, okay? And how many things can you access? I always say to people, it's just God and Google. That's all I need, God and Google. You know, really, right? It's just like I can look anything up, you know. We have all this information. And so we will gravitate to these things. And what happens is it starts to pull us away. We can start to lose hope. We can fall into fear in 2 seconds. Like, let's just be honest here. We've got to gravitate back to the Lord and hang on to God so that when we are facing this world, when we are facing our circumstance, no matter what is happening, there's a confidence because we've touched God. So the second reason he had such confidence, if you remember in verse 3 there, he says remembrance. I want to go back and remember, okay? So if you, like I said, he's writing right now to the Philippians. It's people that live in Philippi, okay? Now, if you go to Acts 16, this is the story of Paul going to Philippi the first time, okay? So Paul is remembering something here. He's remembering them, but he's going to call something back into remembrance. Now, Paul the Apostle was out spreading the gospel, okay, preaching the good news, going town to town, asking God to lead them and guide them. And so if we go to Acts 16, in verse 9, it says, a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and there was a man of Macedonia standing there, urging him and saying, come over and help us. Okay, you got to love this next verse. And when Paul saw the vision, immediately, we're going to Philippi. Okay, you'll love that. I'm not going to sit around and get confirmation for 2 years. Okay, just a pet peeve of mornings. So anyways, So God comes and gives him a vision, and he heads to Philippi. And it's interesting because it says he's wandering around for days, and he says, I wonder if we could find anybody praying. Wow, okay, that could preach for 5 years. Just right there. But anyways, it's interesting. He gets a vision from God, and he goes, but nothing's really happening. Is it? Nothing's happening. But remember, this is Paul, and this is someone who's connected with God. He's connected. He knows God's going to do something. He doesn't give up and quit. He looks for prayer. He goes to prayer. That's what he does. And we know the story. He finds Lydia. She gets saved, and church plant breaks out. Okay? People start meeting in Lydia's home. Her whole family gets saved, baptized, the whole thing. But wait a minute. It was a man in the vision. So this isn't the vision yet, is it? Okay, so he's found prayer. People are hearing his message. Okay, a church plant's breaking out, but this isn't the vision. Paul didn't quit. He didn't leave. Now again, he's on his way to prayer, isn't he? On his way to prayer. Now a slave girl's following him and saying, oh, this guy's so wonderful. He's so great. You guys should listen to him. Okay? Now, I want to bring out a point here. Because the enemy had a hold on this town, the enemy wanted people to believe that they were in partnership. Paul and this girl were in partnership. They wanted the people in that town to not see Paul as anyone different or anything special, but just part of the group, part of the gang. Look at, we endorse him. Because remember, this goddess over Philippi was using this girl, and they had control. They were making good money, and they had control. And they're just like, this guy's trouble, so let's try this strategy. Let's try and come alongside, and we won't ruffle any feathers or anything, and we can kind of work together. This is one area why we have to walk close to God this day. I wasn't going to talk about this, but I'm just going to say it. This is one reason we got to walk close to the Lord today. The enemy has schemes and devices, and one of them is deception, so that we work, try to work in mixture. We do it all the time. Let's try this strategy. Let's try this. Let's do this. Let's do that. Let's just give it a try and see what works, okay? And this is another reason we got to walk close to the Lord, because he wants to bring us into mixture to achieve certain goals. And when we're not walking close to the Lord, okay, we think, well, at least we're achieving our goal. But it's under a wrong guise. And this is the beauty. This is the beauty of what God did. He comes along. And he grieves Paul's spirit to the point where this principality is addressed. It has to come down over Philippi. Okay, well, now we're going somewhere with this story because we're looking in remembrance right now. Paul is now writing these same people a letter, isn't he? He's remembering what God did. Okay? Nothing happened. God delayed the vision from coming to pass because he wanted Paul to pray. He wanted Lydia's household to come in, okay? He wanted to tear down this principality. He wanted to pull down what the enemy was doing to draw people in and lead them into destruction, okay? So he wanted to tear that down over that city so that people could get saved and people would see the strategy of the enemy at play. So God is bringing all this to pass while Paul, who just connected with God, is endeavoring to do what God told him to do. Do you see how God was completing the work here? Do you see how God was doing it all because we're connected to God and we're just doing what he said to do? We're not playing games and we're not trying to achieve a goal. We're just doing what God told us to do. And God brings down and addresses this goddess that has these people bound in chains. And they are set free. And all these people start to get saved in town. But that's not the vision. That's still not the vision, though. You would think that was enough. Wow. And we know they got so angry. They got so angry with Paul that they decided they were going to chuck him in prison. So now Paul's sitting in prison, and what does Paul do? Paul prays and connects with God. God, we kind of need to connect here. The vision hasn't happened yet. I am confident in my spirit that this vision is still going to come to pass. Thank you, Father, because it says he was praising God. Thank you, God, that somehow you're still going to move because that vision will still come to pass. Don't you want that kind of confidence? God, you put something in my spirit and you told me what you were going to do, and here I sit bound. What do we do? Do we press through to God? Do we find him again so he can do something in our spirit and bring life? Look, it says the other prisoners heard him, but you know what? When you look that word up too, it says they were anticipating because they heard the hope in Paul and Silas. They were anticipating. Listen. When the vision is not complete, when what you know God is doing in or through you is not complete, but you are facing some kind of prison, bondage, obstruction, whatever it is, we find the Lord in the midst of our prison, and others will hear the sound, and it will minister to other people. But we have fallen for this lie that says, until you're perfect, you will never influence people around you. And don't tell me we haven't, because I've heard it 50 ways to Sunday, okay? How can I be a witness, Maureen? Okay, so let's back up. Even in the prison, he connected with God. That prison could not hold him in spirit. He connected with God and he impacted everyone around him. And it doesn't matter where you are in your life, you connect with God, and the sound that comes from you impacts other people. Your witness is about the Spirit of God within you. He says, and my Spirit will come upon you and you will be my witnesses. This is not about you. It was not about how good Peter was. We know how screwed up he was. It was not about how good Peter was. It was about the Spirit of God making him a witness. Well, how can I be a witness, Maureen? I had one gal say to me, I can't be a witness, Maureen, because I yell at my kids and I'm sure my neighbors have heard me. Well, glory be to Jesus. Actually, she did connect with God. She did connect with God, and she feels like God delivered her. But at any rate, we still connect with God, and that sound then comes from us. There's a confidence that this is about God. God's going to use me. And it's interesting because Paul didn't go into the murmuring and complaining. He didn't go into, well, all hope is lost. He didn't go into, well, I guess we didn't hear God. He didn't go into, well, this vision's never going to happen now. Well, maybe the vision's for someone else. He reconnected with his God, and God brought forth the vision of the jailer coming to the Lord, right? And his whole household being baptized, and Paul knew the vision had been completed. He knew God was not finished with him yet. Sitting in prison, he knew God was not finished with him yet. Sitting in prison, bound, he knew God was not finished with him yet. Do you hear that? I don't know what's going on in your life, but it's part of getting to where God is taking you. We got to get this perfection out of our heads and understand this is about relationship. That's what this is about. This is about connecting with our God. So this is why Paul had such confidence about the people he was writing in the book of Philippians. He says, I know what all God has done, people. I've been praying for you and I've connected with God, but I also know all God did to get you saved and to where you are today. I'm confident here. He dealt with the goddess. He saved you. He brought you in. You've been baptized. A church plant broke out in a Roman colony. All of this is going on. I am confident. This is not done yet, guys. I hope Char doesn't mind me using her as an example, but she invited me over to her son's birthday party, which was so nice. And I hadn't seen her kids for so long, and I never even met Marion yet. And I'm sitting there, and I was moved because I thought, I can't believe I'll bless Char's. And I told her, I think, five times, you have such beautiful kids. You know, I'm just like, but I also know how much hell Char's walked through. Hell and back a few times. Okay? And I also know that Char's life isn't completely perfect yet. But you know what? You know what I can say to Char? I'm confident that he who has begun a good work in you is completing it. I have complete confidence. I have no doubt in my mind. And that's what Paul was saying. Guys, I know what has happened. But I also know it was God that saved you and brought you in. And as I've been in prayer for you, I am confident. See, God wants that confidence in us towards Him. Because that verse goes on to say, He will complete it. He will perform it. He will bring it forward to completion and perfect it. He will carry it through to the end. Philippians 2:13 says, It is God who is all the while effectively at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. 1 Thessalonians says, Faithful is He who is calling you. He's trustworthy, and He will also do it. But I want you to think about this personally. What all has God done in your life? And I want to say something to you. If you don't know, you better ask God. Because your fleshly mind has just gravitated again to the negative. That's what our fleshly tendency is. I've been to hell and back, and I've been through this, okay? That's our fleshly tendency, is to look to the negative. But God says, I'm going to bring back to your remembrance all that I've said and done. So what about your life? What all has God done to bring you to this place? You're still standing. You're still here. You're still working in your life. Just like I said with Char, you have a family or whatever, you know. Dog, cat, I don't know. It's worked in your life. But recognize that. And no matter what you're going through, if there is fear, despair, hopelessness, depression, anything, those are not traits of God. So you need a connection with God. And do what you have to do to find Him. Seek Him out. He says, if you just seek Me with your whole heart, you will find Him. But what about the bigger picture? What about corporately? You know what I find we do sometimes is we don't understand that we're a body sometimes. Because what we do is we can say, well, it's really nice that Enoch got an answer to prayer. But I didn't. So I'm really happy that God can move for Enid and answer Enid's prayers. But you know what? We're a body. And you know what it means to me if God moves on Enid and ministers to Enid? It means God's moving. That's what it means. And it means, God, I want to have an open heart to You too. I want to receive all You have. But we tend to pull away. We think, she must be better. She must pray better. God likes her more. Rather than saying, that means God's moving. Thank you, Father. You're moving in the body. God, I think about all you've done in Black Falls. God, I think about how you brought me here and how I got saved. And you are moving. I am confident of this fact that we're sitting here today because God's moving. And see how it pushes back everything else. We get our eyes on the Lord. What about, let's hit a real nerve. What about in Canada? Do you have any confidence in God? Or do you just subscribe to all the news channels? Because if you do, you don't have any confidence at all. Then I can guarantee it. Because they don't focus on God. And we can feel so much despair and so much discouragement unless we connect with God. You know what I always say to people? People are always like, you know, well, I just need the fire of God. I just need the fire of God. I don't know what to do. I need the fire of God. Well, guess what? God's a fire. So touch the fire and get on fire. Right? So, you know, we know this, but the problem is when fear and despair and rejection and these things crowd in, we think we have to pull away and figure it out with the fleshly mind that only takes me further. And we've got to stop and say, wait a minute, I want that confidence back. I want that assurance back. I want to know my God. I want to know his power pumping through me. I want to be the witness he called me to be because of him and his power functioning in and through me. So we need to stop and think, okay, what has God done? So fellowship with God. I don't know how much you fellowship with God, but you got to figure it out in your spirit and just say, Father, I have let so many things crowd in. Help me get started back because, Lord, I have pulled away and it's been too long. I have been in a bad place. And ask him to remind you of all that he has done to bring you where you are. And we need to renew our mind. First, we renew our mind by connecting with God. Because I'll tell you, when God speaks to you, boom, everything changes. Okay? But we need to get in the Word. We need to fellowship with other people who can encourage us. Okay? So we can see the strategies of the enemy for what they are. But a renewed mind is the mind of Christ. And it knows it's imperative to stay connected. The fleshly mind just pulls away and thinks, this is my life. This is how it goes. All hope is lost. And I was praying for some of you even individually. I don't know all of you, and I don't know all your names necessarily, but I just sat down and I said, God, I'm just going to pray for the people of this congregation. And it was interesting because I was praying for some people and it seems like God kept bringing me back to the same thing. And I thought, okay, you're obviously saying something corporately here. So the picture I had was of David and he's going to come in and meet Goliath. And when I was praying, I felt like it was David, and he was looking in his hand, and he's like, all I got is 5 rocks, so I guess this is over. I've got nothing to show for this. Can't fit the armor. I can't even lift the spear. Okay. Yeah, just 5 rocks. Might as well chuck them. See, the enemy wants to belittle you so much that everything that God's put in you just looks like 5 little rocks. What good are they? What can they possibly accomplish? He tells that to you personally, and he tells it to you as a body sometimes. What can we do? Look at us. Look at who we are, you know. We're scattered all over, and we're all these different problems and ages and everything else. Like, what can we do? We're just 5 little rocks. And we listen to it. God says, you know, I can use the foolish to confound the wise if I want to. And the beautiful thing, okay, because this is what comparison does, though. It makes you look small and what you lack of next to the other person. But the beautiful thing was about the five stones were they weren't David's stones. That's the point. And when anything is in the hand of God, it is now God doing it, not the stone, okay? It is God doing it. And I want to encourage you because I think this has been a strategy that's bigger than you. This isn't just a personal thing. This has been a strategy of the enemy to say, look at those rocks. They're useless. Why even try? Where God says, yeah, but if you put them in my hand, let's see what happens. Okay? And so this is what connecting with God is. Remember, David said, the battle's the Lord's. The battle's the Lord's. And when you will surrender even that one stone to God, you can stand back and see what God will do. And I believe, okay, when the enemy works overtime to belittle, why do you think that is? Because he doesn't want it happening. He's afraid of it. So he has to belittle it and tear it down. Okay? Because he doesn't want you to understand, even if you only had one stone in God's hand, the battle is the Lord's and he is victorious. Okay? And that's why I'm saying you have the same spirit that the Apostle Paul had. You have the same spirit that came to them in Pentecost. You have the same spirit in you that raised Christ from the dead. It is not better in Sister Susie than in you. It's the same because it's God. And I felt like even when I was sitting there during worship, we just got to shake this off and see it for what it is. When this is a lie from the enemy, you've got two choices. I can sit here and entertain it, think about it. Well, I don't know. Is that right? Is that true? Or maybe we should, you know, study the book of Samuel again and figure all this out. And 5 years later, we're still looking at the stones. Or we can say, I'm not listening to you anymore. I'm going to rise up in God. Father, do something in my spirit. Give me this confidence like David that said, even with five stones, I can run towards the giant. Run. He ran. Remember, the others ran away. David ran too. Because he connected with God. There was a confidence. There was a bravery. There was a courage. And that's what Kyle prayed when we started. God, give us this courage. This is where it's found, is in him. Well, when I get over my fear, when I connect with God, I have courage. That's what burns the fear. It's God and his presence that does it. Not you getting over something. We're going like this. I was saying to the girls, I'm just so tired of everybody spinning in circles. I'm getting dizzy. It's time for us to say no. This is about you, not about me doing better. That's the law. And if you remember the scriptures we read, Paul said, I am not doing this by the law. I'm doing this by faith in Christ, who called me and set me apart and did all these things so I could be saved. Brought a man from who knows where into my town to preach the gospel, tear down the goddess, and break out of prison so I could get saved. What all has God done? Like I said, ask him. Ask him. I just want to share a few more things. I was praying for Kyle, and I felt like... I just saw like this sheet of metal, but it was gold actually. And there was this hammer shaping it and getting the kinks out and everything else. And it's a picture of when they were making the temple, they used hammers to form and shape items that God told them to make for his use in the temple. And I just felt like God was saying to you, Kyle, that the hammer of God's word has been shaping you. You've been in a season of shaping and forming, and sometimes hammers hurt. But he's forming you for your part, because it's going to come into God's order and glorify him. He has a placement for you in his kingdom, and he's just forming and shaping his instrument, his vessel. And sometimes it feels like he's hammering, but it's not because of punishment. He's shaping and forming a beautiful vessel he's going to use for his purpose and for his glory. And I just want to encourage you to just increase your fellowship with him. He wants to give you greater understanding. God, we know that Kyle is in a different season right now, but God, you're just shaping him and filling him according to your design. You were very particular about your temple and your instruments. And Father, you are shaping him and causing him to be where he fits, what you've called him to do, and to walk with confidence in that position. I was shaped for this. I was formed for this. We thank you, God. And when I was praying for Shar, I felt like God said, Shar, your gifting is more rapid fire. And it's like when he shows you something, because this is just what I got. When he shows you something, you get discernment. It's like, hit it now. Pray. Declare, stomp on it. And I think sometimes you get frustrated because you're just like, well, how come they saw that and I didn't see that? Or how come that person's doing this? Or you're almost like, well, they're special ops and I'm not, or, you know, whatever. And God just says, I'm going to show you what I show you and hit it. And hit it and be confident in what he's calling you to do and what he's placed in you. And I also felt like as you walk in that, he's going to show you more. He's going to show you more. And I was praying for Kirk too, and I got the phrase. I don't even know if this is accurate, but I got the phrase, don't hang up your hat yet. I just feel like your input, your prayers, your encouragement is so needed in the people around you. And you have such an influence and a love and a care and gift of God. And there has something that's crept into the church from society is that when we're older, we're just supposed to step back and let everybody else do it. That's not God's economy, sorry. It isn't. And Mike and I were interviewing a scholar on our channel, and Mike said, so what's an elder? He goes, well, an elder's an older person. And so what he was saying was everybody has placement, and we have been missing the elders who have a wisdom and a knowledge and experience that pour into everyone around us. And we are to honor the elders, receive from them, but they need to keep going. The Bible says we are to be green into old age, bearing fruit. In God's economy, we don't just hang it up. Okay? We are all part of what God is doing. All of us have a part because of the power of God and the Spirit of God within us, right? And so, Father, I just thank you, Lord. Father, that, wow, we can have the same confidence Apostle Paul had because we have the same God. We have the same God that we can connect with, that we can come before the throne, and we can stand here with confidence and say, I know God is doing something in Black Falls. Look at all this happened over the years. Guys, we got to get a little faith here and a little confidence that we are sitting here today because God is doing something. We're not just here killing time or hoping more people come so we can feel better and there's more people in the chairs. No, God, you are about something. I am confident of the fact that you began a good work and you will complete it. Father, all the truth you have poured into us, Father, all the struggles we have gone through, were all so we would find you and have this confidence. Father, I pray, God, for all of us, Lord God, that are in a time of struggle right now with fear, doubt, discouragement, God, even anger or unforgiveness and these types of things, Father, that crowd in our lives and we feel worn down. We feel tired and like we're just struggling. And Lord, I'm asking God that we will not shrink back, but we will press into you and encounter you as many times as it takes. That Father, every time we feel discouragement, I hope you bring back to their remembrance, even today. Oh yeah, Maureen said, fear isn't God. We don't have a spirit of fear. Wait a minute. I need to connect with the God that told me I don't have fear. And God that will remember when I'm discouraged. Wait a minute. Maybe I need God here because I'm feeling discouraged. Father, I just ask, Lord God, that these cycles would stop in our life that cause us to go down that path for days and weeks and some of us years and some of us have never, ever come out. But God, that this would stop, this spinning, these cycles would stop and we would be reminded by your Holy Spirit, wait a minute, what I'm feeling is not God's character. Father, draw me again to you to find you. And Lord, I pray, Lord God, for those that are discouraged about the church in general, the body of Christ, or our country, and these types of things. Father, you are our confidence. Lord, you are our confidence. God, that we won't just come and murmur and complain and get up and feel worse than when we came. But we will encounter the life giver, the one who said, trust me, I'm at work. The one who said, I planted this town here and I will complete the work I have begun here. And Father, that we will walk in that faith, that boldness, that courage, that confidence, Lord God, that we are here for a reason. We'll stop trying to get away and get out. And we will just find you and just say, Father, put that confidence in me that you hear, you answer, and you are at work. God, I don't have to be strong. Like Carrie said earlier, I don't have to be strong. You are. God, I don't have to encourage myself. You encourage me. I don't have to figure out, oh, well, I've got to know, why did God put me here on this earth? No, I've got to know the maker, the creator. That's what I got to do. And God, I got to walk with you and you will fulfill all that you have for us. Father, I pray that we'll stop looking at the five little stones and say they're useless. What am I going to do with this? It's hopeless against this problem, this mountain. And we'll remember that when that stone goes in the sling, we're giving it to you. And you will use whatever you will. You will use our weakness to bring down Goliath if necessary. God, I pray this will get in our spirits. And there will come a change of confidence and joy and faith in our God instead of ourselves, instead of our circumstances, instead of what others do for us, we will find it all in you again and again and again. I thank you for this, Father. Amen.
Guys, before we stand.